Hello, everybody. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our time for our Saturday night show, The Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In the first hour, the second hour, is we're going to be looking at archaeology again. So I'm glad to be here. I had a little delay, so I haven't been able to identify like a Billy Graham preaching or Oral Roberts. I have Bishop Reinhardt with me, and I took him out to eat, and it turned out to be a disaster as far as time and delays, and it was incredible. But anyways, I'm back, and Bishop Reinhardt's doing really well. He preached today at My Shalom, and he's going to be preaching tomorrow at Word of Life. And this preaching was really, really excellent. So I have to get onto YouTube here. And there I am. I see myself. And I have to see myself to get over to YouTube. So let me get over there first. There's YouTube. Okay. And then what we'll do is we'll start off. Oral Roberts' most famous passage came right up on YouTube. So I guess that's what we'll be watching, folks. That's probably the fourth man in the furnace, I believe. I could hear that once a week. That is a tremendous. And also, what came up is All My Tears for Sister Sharon. So let me go here and take a look and see. Okay, so Sharon is here, Sister Kathy's here, Unknown Caller is here, which is Gigi and Randy. Rita is here, and Joy is here. Hello, Joy. Glad that you're here. So that's what happened. And I just got back in to, I mean, it took a, it was just a horror show in the restaurant. I ended up talking to the manager, had a long talk with the manager. The place was not clean. We were there for an hour. In fact, I didn't eat there. I tell them, look, I can't stay. I want to take it to go. And the entire time with us there, the table in front of us and the table to our left were never cleaned for an hour. All the dishes were just sitting there. On the floor, I could see paper, like napkins and drawer covers and that. And all we ordered was hamburgers. I mean, they were almost an hour and never got them. So the hamburgers came. I ran and paid for them, jumped in the car, and here I am. So ex now, is that exciting or what, Sister Kathy? Is that an exciting time?
I'm thinking exciting might be the word.
Say that again.
I said I'm thinking exciting might not be the adjective. Maybe miserable might be a better. Yeah, that is sad though. How long's Reinhard going to be there?
He's leaving Tuesday.
Ooh.
He's leaving
Going
Tuesday.
back home or going somewhere else in
No,
America?
he's going back home. He's going back home. All right. So let me. I have to open the word of prayer. Father, thank you for we can come together, Lord. Thank you for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We're longing for it. There's trouble really brewing in America. Without the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord, is what's needed. Pure and simple. Every problem that faces us will be taken care of by a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Bless this time, Lord, and thank you for the wonderful, beautiful, Lord, anointing preaching of Oral Roberts and Billy Graham, Lord. It's amazing to how edifying, and it's eternal, Lord. Some of these shows are like 60 years ago, or maybe more, and they have as much power now as they had then. The power of the word does not diminish. It does not diminish. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you and thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. All right, Sister Sharon, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm just sitting here looking at you, and may I suggest an ice pack on the left side of your face?
No.
Yes.
No.
Please.
No. I
Okay.
don't.
Now your left side of your face is like your eyes all swollen and puffy, and your cheek and everything. Hi, hi.
All right, this is the left side of my face over here.
Yeah, I know which one's your left side, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking at
But it
myself.
look, yeah, you just look like you need ice or something on it.
Swollen.
Yeah, it's just part of your sinuses and all that again, but
Well, thank
I'm
you
just trying
for.
to be a nurse.
Okay. Well, thank you, but I don't. The patient does not feel that he needs it. But thank you. All right. And we'll talk afterwards, Sister Sharon. And then we have Gigi and Randy.
Hello.
Hello, Randy.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
This is Randy. Gina's around the corner here. Gina, want to say hi or something?
Yeah. Hi, John. Good evening. Looking forward to tonight.
Okay.
Now it's my happy privilege and pleasure.
Yep. That's, I'm gearing up here, Oral Roberts. And then we have Sister Rita.
Good evening, Captain John. Hello, everyone.
Okay, hello. And then Sister Joy is here. Hello, Joy.
Yes, Captain John.
Thank you for the prayer. Last night we have 47 got saved.
How many?
47.
47 or 37?
47 in
total. Wow.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Lord, we do thank you. We thank you for how the anointing is on Sister Joy, but she has others with her, Lord. So we pray that this will grow and grow and grow, Lord, and that there'll be an incredible amount of souls coming to you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Amen.
Wow. Okay. I've got Eat Up here. No, that's not the right one. Okay. I have Oral Roberts, and it's it doesn't give you the name of it. The fourth man. There it is, the fourth man. This is the one where he goes through all the books of the Bible, and it is captivating as he's preaching. You can feel the power. So this is Oral Roberts, the fourth man in the fire, and it's sometime in the 1950s here. So, and then when we finish with that, we'll have prayer for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit also. Okay, here we go.
Now I wish to invite your attention to the book of Daniel chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake, and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fire furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near at the mouth of the burning fire furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the furnace. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head seen, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Like a diamond on a velvet couch, the city of Jerusalem is situated in the exact geographical center of the earth. It was the city of God, the great king. Far away to the south and east of Jerusalem was another city, the greatest the pride and skill of man hath ever built. Babylon, fabulous, mighty Babylon. The world still thinks and talks about Babylon today. Its walls were 300 feet high, wide enough at the top for 8 chariots to run races side by side. Inside the walls were the famous hanging gardens, which Nebuchadnezzar built for his proud and vain wife, one of the wonders of the ancient world. Nebuchadnezzar took his conquering legions, marched out across the known earth and conquered the world, and brought away captive the flower of the nation, and among them the gods of the people. When Nebuchadnezzar, this proud and vain man, saw his conquest, and saw this pile of gods, and realized that no earthly power had been able to stand before his onslaught, he decided to make himself God. And he made an image of himself of solid gold 100 feet high and stood it up in the plains of Dura. He issued an order. At the sound of music, every human being on earth was to fall down, turn his face toward the image and chant, "Great is Nebuchadnezzar our God! Great is Nebuchadnezzar our God!" Then one day he took his crack legions, marched across the hot, burning, shimmering sands of the desert, besieged the city of Jerusalem, the city of God the great king, battered down the walls, tore down the temple, destroyed the city, and took captive the very flower of the nation. Fine young Hebrew princes, young men like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he showed them that terrible burning fiery furnace, which he said he would heat 7 times hotter than ordinary. He said, "You will either bow or you will burn." And these young men, these young servants of the Most High God, came face to face with one of the inescapable facts of life. Your religion is going to be tried. Your faith will have to be tested. And there's a devil in this world who hates God and who hates the people of God. These young men were told, "You will either bow to my God or you will burn in my furnace." Religion, true religion, is going to be tried. You're not going to heaven on a flowery bed of ease. You're not going to get by the devil's wrath. There'll be people who will stand against you. They'll persecute you in every conceivable way. The devil will tell you, "If you serve God, I'll lie on you. I'll misrepresent you. I'll persecute you. I'll hound you. If you don't bow to me, you'll burn in my furnace." The devil will tell every lie in the world. But let me tell you what the 3 Hebrew children said. When old Nebuchadnezzar said, "You'll either bow to my God or burn in my furnace," they said, "We may burn in your furnace, but we'll not bow to your God." But do you know what God said? God said, "If you see to it that you won't bow to Nebuchadnezzar's God, I'll see to it you won't burn in his furnace." God is looking for people who have made their decision, who will cast their lot over on God's side, who will get a Holy Ghost, heartfelt, sky blue, blood red, rock bottom salvation. The kind of religion that will go down beneath your collarbone, straighten up your crooked life, and make something out of you. That's what God is looking for. We have compromised that. And the people who compromise it are burning. They don't have the power of God. They don't have the anointing of the Spirit. They don't have the faith it takes to conquer in life's fiery furnaces. Not only are we compromising heartfelt salvation, we're compromising the anointing of the Spirit of God. We cannot do God's work unless we're anointed to do God's work. And you have to have the Spirit of God upon you. You read your Bible. You go back in religious history. David, Moses, Elijah, Samuel, Peter and Paul and John, the men who delivered their generation, the men who had the power of God, were anointed of God. The Spirit came upon them. People say, "Brother Roberts, what do you mean by the Spirit? What do you mean by saying you have to be anointed?" Well, it's better felt than explained. I know this: when I am not anointed, I don't have power with God. When I don't preach with the anointing or pray with the anointing, great things are not done. But the moment the anointing comes upon me, people are delivered. Why? The anointing breaks the yoke. 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 What will break the yoke of sin? The anointing of the Spirit of God. What will break the yoke of sickness? The anointing of the Spirit of God. What will break the yoke of bad habits? The anointing of the Spirit of God. What will transform a man or woman's life? The anointing of the Spirit of God. If you believe it, say amen. Now, the king said, you will either bow to my God or you will burn in my furnace. The three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, said two things. First, they said, we may burn in your furnace, but we'll not bow to your God. We may bleach our bones in the flames of your furnace, but our soul will still be standing upright. You may humiliate us, mock us, make a fool of us here in public, but in our hearts, we'll still be straight with the Almighty God. You may throw us and bind us. You may bind our legs until our knees touch the ground. But in our spirit, our eyes will be looking away to the hills from whence cometh our help. That's the first thing they said. The second thing they said, O King, the God we serve is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us out of thine hand. This is the declaration of faith. They said, King, the God we serve is able. Now, God is able, but he's only able to the people who serve him. You must understand this. If you don't serve God, if you don't believe God, the ableness of God is not available to you. They said, the God we serve is able. Able what? To deliver us. He is able. Let weakness lie upon his shoulder. Our God is able. Let the angels shout it from the battlements of heaven. Our God is able. Let the preachers shout it from their platforms. Our God is able. Let the heathen imagine a vain thing. Our God is able. Let them throw Paul and Silas into the Philippian jail. Our God is able. He'll shake the place with an earthquake, break the bonds of his captives, and set them free. Let them throw Daniel into the lion's den for his prayers and his faith in God. Our God is able. He'll put a padlock on each lion's chin so that no lion can break a bone in Daniel's body. Our God is able. He is able to deliver the three Hebrew children, and he did. He is able to deliver us, and he will. Do not be afraid of except one thing. Be afraid of compromise. Be afraid to compromise your convictions. Be afraid to sacrifice the principles of right living. Be afraid to break the laws of the Holy Bible. Be afraid to get out of step or off balance with the good God. Be afraid to compromise. For if you refuse to bow, God says you cannot burn. If you stand for what is right, God will see you through. For God is able, and he will deliver you if you refuse to bow. These young men found themselves in life's fiery furnace. It is no new place. From time immemorial, the people of God have had to face life's fiery furnaces. Joseph had to face it. He was sold by his brothers into slavery. He was taken to Egypt and made a captive in a man's house. Yes, he knew what it was to be in life's burning fiery furnace. But God brought him out. Daniel was put into a burning fire furnace because he prayed to God three times a day. He was thrown to the den of lions. Job, because of his integrity with God, was smitten by the devil with sore boils of a terrible sickness from his head to his feet. You know, life's fire furnace can take many guises, many forms. Sometimes it's sickness, sometimes it's poverty, sometimes it's bereavement. Sometimes it's betrayal of friendship, it's hate, it's revenge. Why, it could be anything that comes to grind away at your life. They found themselves in the midst of life's fiery furnace. Now, the old king was not relaxed, and he kept walking around. He kept thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And pretty soon he came over. He said, open up the door and let me look in. And they did. And when he looked in, it almost took his breath away. He called his counselors and governors. He said, men, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They said, that's right, only three, O king. He said, I see four. They're loose. They're walking about. They have no harm, no hurt. And the form of that fourth one is like the Son of God. The fourth man had come forth in the urgency of their need, subduing the crackling flames, robbing the fire of its violence and sting, and setting his children free. Who is this fourth man? I'll tell you who he is. In Genesis, he is the seed of the woman. In Exodus, the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, our high priest. In Numbers, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, the captain of our salvation. In Judges, our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, our kinsman redeemer. First and Second Samuel, our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, our reigning king. In Ezra, our faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, the rebuilder of the broken down walls of human life. In Esther, our Mordecai. In Job, our day spring from on high and our ever living redeemer. In Psalms, the Lord our shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, our wisdom. In the Song of Solomon, the lover and the bridegroom. In Isaiah, the prince of peace. In Jeremiah, the righteous branch. In Lamentations, the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, the wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, the fourth man, the burning fiery furnace. In Hosea, he is the faithful husband forever married to the backslider. In Joel, the baptizer with the Holy Ghost and fire. In Amos, our burden bearer. In Obadiah, the mighty to save. In Jonah, our great foreign missionary. In Micah, the messenger of beautiful feet. In Nahum, the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, God's evangelist, crying, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In Zephaniah, the savior. In Haggai, the restorer of God's lost heritage. In Zechariah, the fountain opened up in the house of David for sin and uncleanness. In Malachi, the son of righteousness. Righteousness rising with healing in his wings. Who is this fourth man? In Matthew, he's the Messiah. In Mark, the wonder worker. Luke, the son of man. John, the son of God. Acts, the Holy Spirit. In Romans, our justifier. Corinthians, our sanctifier. In Galatians, the redeemer from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, the Christ of unsearchable riches. In Philippians, the God who supplies all our needs. In Colossians, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. First and Second Thessalonians, our soon coming king. First and Second Timothy, our mediator between God and man. Titus, our faithful pastor. In Philemon, a friend that sticketh closer than our brother. In Hebrews, the blood of the everlasting covenant. In James, the great physician. First and Second Peter, the chief shepherd. First, Second, and Third John, he is love. In Jude, the Lord coming with 10,000s of his saints. In Revelation, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Man, I'll tell you who he is. He is Abel's sacrifice, Noah's rainbow, Abraham's ram, Isaac's well, Jacob's ladder, Issachar's burdens, Judah's scepter, Moses' rod, Elijah's mantle, Elisha's staff, Samuel's horn of oil, David's slingshot, Isaiah's big bonus, Hezekiah's sundial, Paul's handkerchief and aprons, Peter's rock, John's pearly white city. He's a husband to the widow, a father to the orphan. To those traveling in the dark night, he's the bright and morning star. To those traveling the lonesome valley, he's the lily of the valley. The rose of Sharon, the staff of life, and honey in the rock. Who is he? Who is the fourth man? He is Jesus. He is Jesus, the Son of God. The fourth man. The fourth man knew the three Hebrew children were thrown into the fiery furnace because they had refused to bow to an idol god. And coming forth, he delivered them. The king cried, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come forth and come hither. When they came out, he smelled of their garments. He examined their bodies and he declared, the smell of fire has not passed upon their garments, nor the singe of fire is not on their hair. There's no other God that can deliver after this sort. Men and women, listen to me tonight. Listen to me. There is just so much the devil can do. His power ends at the furnace door, and that's where the power of the fourth man begins. Their faith suspended a natural law. They were delivered from that fire, and the only thing that the fire could burn were the bonds on their bodies.
There's something the fire could not burn, and that was them. The only indestructible thing in this world is a Christian serving God, a man or woman whose faith is in the Lord God of heaven and earth. If you believe it, say amen.
Well, it never loses any power here. Hang on. They're running another one here. Hang on. Wow. All I can say is wow. Well, we're going to get the final wow on this. Sister Sharon, what did you think?
You asked me?
Yep.
Okay. I really enjoyed that. I enjoy Oral Roberts a lot.
Yes, yes.
Stuff. Very, very out front with what he's saying and stuff. And he wants people to hear what he has to say and to believe him.
That is a powerful, absolutely different than all those other sermons. This one here stands out above it. Above them. Yeah. All right. And Sister Kathy?
Yes, absolutely love it too. And I'm like you, I think I could watch it every day. But just to know the volume of his memory, 66 books and all those descriptions, and then Abraham's ram and all the extra ones at the end. Oh my goodness, it's just awesome.
Now that one was only 18 minutes, but he has one here, very interesting, for 46 minutes. It probably goes into healing and all that.
Yeah, for sure. I would imagine there'd be a little more to the sermon too, but I can't imagine what. But I do know he would do healings on every service.
Yes. Yes. All right. I think what we'll do now is we'll have prayer, and then we'll go into the second hour. So we're going to be praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to read that prayer covenant at the end. So, Sister Sharon, would you lead us, please, in the prayer for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? We need it desperately. Before we pray, I want to tell you what I've been following now. This election in New York City is critical. I posted this on my blog, but every evil that you can imagine is behind this candidate. He's a Muslim communist, and he's got all the worst of the worst are behind him. Evil, evil imams and what they're talking about, and they want global jihad. They're out in the open about it. They want to. So much in New York City is today. I heard about it. How much of New York City is in welfare? They don't speak English. They're on all sorts of. They have. A certain percentage is illegal aliens, and the list goes on and on and on. And it's like they're living off the government. There's more people like not working than there is working, and he wants to make it worse. This is really serious if he's elected. He wants to basically do away with the police, and then he wants to make it a sanctuary city. And he's got the Democrats behind him now. This is serious, folks. And the plan is they want to take New York City down, and then the Muslims want to take it over, and they want to go from city to city, like Chicago, Los Angeles. And they want to pull down America through the big cities. That's their plan. So, the remedy for that is, in lieu of warfare, physical warfare, is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's desperately needed, folks. We're on the verge of a big crisis here in America. The people that follow him are, they're talking about a global jihad now. And they're way ahead of us in Europe, but we could catch up quickly if New York City falls. So keep that in mind as we pray now for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, okay?
Yes, sir. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Okay. Dear Father God, we come before you tonight and every day, every chance we get to pray to you. And tonight is our traditional night to pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But dear Father God, this has become very, very critical to our nation and to our cities, to our villages, our grocery stores, to everywhere, dear Father God, that we need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need you, dear Father God, to guide our steps, to watch over us, and to help us with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But first and foremost, we need to have people know what the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is, and so that they are aware of what it is that we're asking for, what we're praying for. And dear Father God, we just need this to happen to protect our cities, especially like what you were talking about, New York City, with the potential election of the wrong type of person.
Amen.
With the wrong type of beliefs and stuff, and we just need to get this stopped. We need to turn this around. We do not need to have Muslims and Hamas and whatever elected into our county and city and state seats. We need Christians elected and brought to power in places like New York City, the outskirts, the state, and just all around the whole country, dear Father God. And people really need to take this to heart. And we think of places like Michigan was just almost attacked. Warfare was almost started in Dearborn, which is a highly, highly Muslim city. And there was an attack almost started there and spread out into Inkster. These are neighboring cities, dear Father God, and you know that. And it's just unbelievable what's happening. We used to have a nickname for Inkster when I was growing up, and it wasn't a nice one, so I'm not going to repeat it, but you know what it was, God. But you know it had to do with not believing in you. It was a everybody knew that when we said that, they knew what town we were talking about, and they knew that they weren't worshiping you, your Father God. And this is what we got to get back to. We got to tell the people, our friends, our neighbors, and not just the people, like I say, we have to tell all the people, our friends and our neighbors, our families, and everybody that we have anything to do with, that we have to get back to you and have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We have to pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to return upon our country, upon this earth, and especially to get it started in New York. New York is a very powerful state, dear Father God, and people just are not watching what's going on there, and they have to be. If we're going to stop it, we have to stop it in New York first. So we all need to be on our knees. We all need to have our hands raised up to you, dear Father God, and we need to pray. We need to pray for forgiveness for our sins. We need to pray for the forgiveness of sins of our cities, our states, and our world. And we need to pray, again, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to come down and to purify our cities and each and every one of us. We need to do this as a group, your Father God. And I thank you that there are prayer revival meetings going on all over. But if there's not enough word about them going on, people aren't going to know, and they're not going to go. So, dear Father, we just need to make this more vocal and more knowable. And I just want to say thank you, dear Father, that there was a revival prayer sessions, several of them, going on in Michigan today. And I just want to pray, dear Father, that everything continues to go well with these organizations and events. And I just pray, dear Father, and that we as Christians act like Christians and be Christians and pray to you, dear Father God, and pray for salvation for our friends, for ourselves, and for everybody who needs it. And we don't have to name anybody in particular, but just name everybody in particular. So, dear Father God, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for tonight. Thank you that I could be here. And I thank you that I can pray. And in your name, I do pray. Amen.
That was a wonderful, wonderful prayer. Okay. Gigi and Randy, you're up next.
Okay. So we're praying for the outpouring, right?
Yes.
I also want to pray. This situation in Nigeria is really, really serious. And also in Sudan, all over Africa, at least the northern section of Africa, they're really killing a lot of people, a lot of people. And I did want to ask you if you have heard from Pastor Abel at all?
Yes, I have. I contacted him earlier today. We had a wonderful conversation. Good. He said God has blessed and his area has been protected. They have not been... The Muslims have not attacked his area, and they're very thankful to the Lord, and so he appreciates us praying for him.
Yeah, because we've been praying for him, especially because we know it's really dangerous there. So, okay, Lord Jesus, we just come before you to honor you, to glorify you, to speak truth about you, and to hold you up on high. And our goal is that you would be glorified, not us, but you, and that you would be glorified over all the earth. And we know that you came to reclaim everything that was lost in Genesis 3 in particular. And you came to redeem it, and you came to restore it. And all of creation is going to worship you and rejoice. And so we thank you that you have this incredible, incredible plan that is revealed in your scriptures all throughout from beginning to end. And Lord, we know that time is short, and we want to honor you with our prayers. We want what you want, and it says in your word that you don't wish that any man will perish, but all will come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And based on your word and your will and your way and your character, we are praying for an outpouring. We're praying for an outpouring here, all across the United States, in the areas that border us, in Canada and Mexico and all around the world. And we're praying for a massive, massive outpouring in the areas where Christians are being murdered day after day, week after week, man, woman, and child, and everything that they have, burning everything that they have. So, Lord, we know that evil and wickedness and lying spirits and murderous spirits, they're everywhere, Lord. And so we're asking you to have mercy on this world, that you will eventually... You're going to reclaim that and take it back from the enemy. And you are going to be in charge. And we're looking forward to that. But we would like to see all of these people across the world, especially in Africa, where they're being murdered every day. So we're praying for Pastor Abel and the pastor in Tanzania and the pastor in South Sudan, all the Abba Father Fellowship pastors, we're praying for Pastor Zephaniah and Gladys. We pray that you would completely heal her. Again, we are grateful that you answered our prayers in a miraculous way and you saved and released Evangelist John. And we're praying that you would raise up a whole army like he is. He is really a brave man. And so we're praying all across all of Abba Father's Fellowship in Pakistan and Nepal and Sri Lanka and India and every other place that people can hear the word of God. And even when people can't hear it, sometimes you just show up in a dream and they don't even know who you are, but you show them who they are. So you are the God of miracles. You are a God of great and mighty things. We thank you and we praise you that you have called each one of us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And I pray that whatever we do, Lord, that we really would bring you honor and glory. And I continue to pray for this outpouring, Lord, everywhere across this planet, and that you would bring in your harvest and that you would fulfill the times of the Gentiles. And we are looking forward to your soon and coming return. And we say, Maranatha, Lord Jesus, please come. And I just praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Now we have Sister Rita.
Okay, Chaplain. Okay, wait a minute. Okay. Father, I thank you. I thank you for America, Father. You have blessed us. You have shown mercy to us, Father. And Father, we are coming to you tonight asking for mercy for America. We do not deserve it, Father, but you are a merciful God and a loving God, Father. Father, I pray that you will stop these godless Democrats.
Amen.
That is in the House and in the Senate from bringing down America. Father, these people hate you and your son, and they embrace evil. They endorse abortion, pornography, homosexualism, transgenderism. And Father, I pray that you will stop the spreading of Islam that is moving across America. And Father, for this election that is going in New York for a new governor, I pray that this man, I don't know what his name is, Mardini or something like that.
Mandami, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, Mandami. I pray that you would stop him, Father. I pray, I don't even know if there's a Republican running against him or who he's, well, he's running in the primary. They haven't got, I think he's running in the primary.
No, this is the... next week is the real election.
Oh, boy. Father, please stop him. Please stop him from being elected. And please be merciful to us, Father. And please be merciful to America, Father. Father, I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit across our country, in our college campuses, in all our major cities, Father. And Father, I pray, Father, for these Muslims that are trapped in Islam, and also pray, Father, for the people that have had abortions or about to have abortions, or people that are trapped in pornography, transgenderism, and homosexualism, Father. I pray that these people will repent. These people that are trapped in these sinful lifestyles, that they will repent and come to the saving knowledge of your Son, and that they will, just repent, Father, and come to the saving knowledge of your Son. Father, I also hold up Israel to you. I pray that you will put a hedge of protection around her and give her peace. And I pray also, Father, for all the Jews that live in Israel, that they will repent from their wicked ways and come to the saving knowledge of your Son. And I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel. And I also pray, Father, for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in all of the Abba Father fellowship churches, in every single church, Father. And I also ask you, Father, that you will encourage, strengthen, and guide and direct every single pastor in these churches, and bless their churches, bless their people, Father. And I pray, Father, that you would provide food, water, clothing, and shelter to these poor churches. And again, Father, I ask and pray that you will, there be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in these Abba Father fellowship churches, Father. And again, Father, I'm asking that you'd be merciful unto us. Be merciful unto America, Father. And I give you thanks, Father, for all that you have given to America and how you have blessed America, Father. It is because of you, Father, that America is what it is today. And Father, protect and guide and strengthen President Trump, and open up his eyes that he will see where his strength comes from. And then I pray, Father, that President Trump will love you more with each passing day. And Father, I pray for everyone that is online tonight. I pray that you would strengthen us, comfort us, and encourage us, and heal us, Father. For I pray all this in the wonderful and glorious name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Then we have Joy here. Joy, if you'd like to offer prayer about the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the righteous God. You are the only Savior. We need you in New York. May you elect, only let the righteous one to be elected. And we ask the Holy Spirit pouring down your favor, pouring down your anointing upon the workers of the harvest, so that we people, your great tidings shall be preached to the poor, to the meek one. God, I thank you that only you can give us the, show us the visions, the revelation of who you are. Help us to know the Abba Father's love. Pour down your love upon the land, upon Israel, upon African countries, upon Pakistan, God, upon China, upon America. God, all the land shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. And may you open people's eyes to see that you are enthroned above all the waters. You are the Lord, that you are in control. The government and the peace are on your shoulder. Thank you, God. May you be the fourth man in all kinds of circumstances. May us to ask you that you outpour your Holy Spirit. We ask earnestly, only your Holy Spirit can quench the thirsty of the souls. Turn our heart towards you. You cleanse the land. May your wind, the fresh wind and the fresh fire, swipe through the land. Thank you, God. We expect your faithful, mighty work on the land. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, thank you very much. Now we have Sister Kathy. Sister Kathy.
Okay. Father, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You are the God that never leaves us or forsakes us. You are watching over your word to perform it. And Lord, it has to come down a certain way, and your word is going to happen exactly as it is spoken. So, Lord, we rest knowing things have to break down, things have to get to a terrible condition. But, Lord, we are spared from your wrath. The bride of Christ is spared. So thank you for that. We do pray for the outpouring of your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name that every soul will have an opportunity to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Every person you've called to be a teacher, a speaker, a minister of the gospel, any way at all, those people, Lord, I pray will answer the call, because they do have a choice. They can say yes or no. And I pray, Lord God, that they will respond in the affirmative. Father, we do pray for all the nations that are being persecuted, Democratic Republic of Congo and Sudan are under terrible, terrible, terrible persecution. And Lord, there's a minister that's praying, that asking people to pray that the regime of Iran will fall, that it is very, very fragile, and he's thinking within the next couple of weeks it is possible that it collapses, and we pray for that, because the largest church is in Iran. The biggest group of believers, of Christians, they say, is in Iran and China. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you you're working all things together according to the counsel of your good will. And I thank you for that. I pray for Chaplain John, Pastor Ernie, all the people we pray for, Lord, who just propels the gospel forward. And we thank you so much, Lord. We just thank you for your goodness and mercy. And again, that is everlasting also. So thank you for being a father. Thank you for being everything we need to be everything we need. And we love you with all our heart, mind, soul, spirit, and our neighbor as ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you for this time together now, Lord, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Lord, the wonderful, wonderful anointing on Brother Oral Roberts, Lord. I don't know, it was 1956, Lord. So that was just about 70 years ago. And this power is still on it, Lord. The power of the Holy Spirit recognizes and anoints the Word of God. So we thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And so, Father, we're looking out now and we see the evil that wants to destroy really like kind of the last bastion of freedom now in the United States. But it's a plan, Lord. It's targeted New York City, this evil. It wants to bring New York City down, and then all the cities, Lord, throughout the country. They're all havens, Lord, like the third, what do you call it, Lord? It's come out of my mind. Illegal aliens, Lord, and they've overwhelmed us in numbers. So these are not people that have the American-like spirit in them, Lord. They will be interested in communism if they think it's for free. If they're getting things for free, they'll be interested in Islam because it'll probably be presented in a wonderful way to them. Lord, this is dangerous. What the Democrats tried to do, Lord. They're now trying to, it's been set up, and now they're trying to implement it. So we have mercy before you, Lord. We're asking for mercy. We're asking, Lord, because we're still a very sinful nation. But Lord, you raised up President Trump. You did, Lord. And we see what you've done already. And we see, Lord, where he's supporting Israel in his own way with peace now, Lord. I'll just leave it at that, Lord. I'll just leave it at that. And Lord, I ask that you lead the nation to this confrontation between Islam and communism and us in New York City. That no matter what happens, Lord, if this guy's elected, it's going to be thwarted. It's going to be hindered. It's going to be stopped. It won't be successful because we repented, Lord, of the wickedness of the nation, Lord. We have repented of it, and we're asking, and we've asked for forgiveness in Jesus' name for the nation, and it will not be successful. But what will be successful is a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That will be highly successful, Lord. Throughout the whole nation, Lord. Lord, I just heard there about another college where there was a great move of your Spirit in that college, and I don't know if they did it in this college, but they're bringing portable baptisms, Lord. And they're baptizing people like right there in the spot. They come to Christ. And then within a very short time, they're baptized. That's the way it should be. That's wonderful, Lord. That's wonderful. And we want to be a part of this, Lord. We want to be a part of it by prayer and then beyond prayer, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We want to be a part in action. Lord, I want to thank you for today. Talking to Pastor Abel, he was in a very good spirits, Lord. He was very happy to hear me. It's been about a month, I think, since we spoke. Lord, we talked about him coming Monday for prayer. I think he's going to try and come Monday for prayer, and we can pray over him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We praise you and thank you, Lord. What a wonderful blessings, Lord, you've been pouring upon us, Lord. Great blessings. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We ask for, thank you for Bishop Reinhardt, Lord, and the move of the Spirit there in India, Lord, especially Sri Lanka. Amazing, Lord, how the Spirit is moving there across primarily like the central southern part of India, Lord, and then into Sri Lanka, the island off the coast of India, Lord. So we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in India, Lord. So many Hindus coming to you, Lord. So many. So many Buddhists coming to you, Lord. Exciting. Exciting to hear the reports, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We praise you and thank you, Lord. We can't thank you enough, Lord. We give you all glory and honor. And we can never stop thanking you, Lord. We praise you and thank you now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. All right. I've got a show here from Joel Kramer.
On?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I forgot to mention that tomorrow is Praying for the Persecuted Church by Open Doors, and there's a couple other organizations that have joined together, and they're going to be praying all across the country, and actually across the world.
Yeah. All right. What we need to add to this is President Trump came out boldly today and said he's not going to allow Christians to be slaughtered across the world.
Good. I didn't know that.
Yes, yes. Can't do it. Please do not let me forget. I want to show you what he said about Nigeria, and then another article. I mean, it's anointed. I mean, he.
Oh. Great.
Yeah. So let's hear from Joel Kramer, and then afterwards, I want you to hear what he said. He said that he's willing. He's willing to send the U.S. military into Nigeria to protect the, because I think they've killed 50,000 in the last, you know, short period of time.
Right. Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just thought if I don't tell you now, forget.
No, that's all right. Okay, so this is Joel Kramer about Shiloh. And I can't, when I see Shiloh, two things, actually, I think of the American Civil War more than I do the Bible. When I see Shiloh, because there was a tremendous battle in Shiloh, it's Texas, Tennessee. And was one of the, I guess you would call it, it was large, large. And the amount of casualties shocked the nation that, that occurred at Shiloh. In fact, an expression developed as a result of it. And when they, like, entered into a battle in the North, I don't this had nothing to do with the South. But when the North, the expression would be, I was more scared than Shiloh. In other words, the battle was so bad that it was even worse than Shiloh. All right. So that has nothing to do with Shiloh in Israel. But it, well, it does in a way that, that that's part of America, as we have a rich heritage of taking biblical places and bring them here to America. Like in there's Jericho on Long Island. Where I grew up, the town next, the town over from me there was Jericho. We didn't even really connect it that much with the Bible when I grew up. It was just a Babylon. You got Babylon where Dave Hauser is from. I told him to, I've been telling him to move to Jericho. I said, Dave, get out of Babylon and go to Jericho, will you? So, all right, here we go.
See the dried up almond? This is the Jewish settlement. You can see there's a synagogue up there that kind of resembles the tabernacle a little bit.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring to your attention the Ark of the Covenant was housed in Shiloh for, I think, more than 300 years. So it's very significant in that sense. And then David moved it from Shiloh to Jerusalem, the Ark of the Covenant, and they put it, they held it in the city of David until Solomon finished the temple.
Come on, I'll put my thing up on my head.
How if I put the thing in my ear?
So again, now this is the first site that you've been to today where there's Jewish visitors here with us. Back most
Belly.
The church.
The window here.
Oh,
you see what I'm looking at?
Good. So look at it. What does it look like?
Star of David.
Yes. Oh, well. Do you think that? Okay, now. Can you all still hear me outside?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're looking at the floor of a Byzantine church. Do you think they call this the Star of David?
No.
They might have called it the Star of Jesus. So now you've seen these stars on a synagogue. Remember when we were in Capernaum and looking at the stars on from a synagogue? Mm-hmm. And now you've seen the same symbol on a church. Why are they found both? Synagogues and churches, because because it's the symbol that comes straight from Scripture, Numbers 24, of the Messiah. What is the symbol of the Messiah from Numbers 24? A star.
Okay, we saw where that prophecy, Numbers 24, was fulfilled when we were standing up on the Herodium and looking over where the wise men first came to Jerusalem. Hey, where is the king that's been born, king of the Jews? We saw a star rise in the east. Then they read the scripture and they went over to Bethlehem and the star. They followed the star over to Bethlehem. How exactly that works, who knows, but it did. And then the star showed who the star was, the child, and they worshiped him. Now, the archaeologist that works here, her name is Ruth, which we would say Ruth. And so Ruth and her husband Israel are archaeologists that are doing the digging all around here. My son Barry and I did the photography, the aerial photography for her at the site. And so we need to talk about that. We'll get in the shade right here and talk about it. So here's the site. Here's one of the aerial photographs that we took here, and I'm going to put where we are, one finger there, and then I'm going to point to another on the opposite side of Shiloh. There's two main theories about where the tabernacle was. One of them is where we're at, okay, and the other one is on the other side where I'm pointing right here. You can see a tabernacle in there, can't you? Okay. Up until last year, even, I was pretty persuaded that it was this one on the opposite side. But since last year, I'm persuaded that it's here. And I'll tell you why. There is pretty intriguing evidence for the other side, and I'll take you there and show it to you. And at this time that I took this photograph, you see that Ruth is, she was digging all through this area. But the reason she has come to the conclusion that it was here, it wasn't her idea, that one of the early Danish, it was a Danish excavation here, back in the 1920s, established that this is where the tabernacle was. Then some interesting evidence came up over there that definitely had my attention and roots. And so she excavated. After excavating over there and considering everything, I'm pretty persuaded that it was here. And for one reason, and one reason only. What do you think it is? One thing on top of another. That's an ancient mosque sitting on the floor, the remains of a floor of a church.
Byzantine church.
Yes, a Byzantine church. And in fact, on the mosaic floor of this church, it was found the inscription Shiloh, for the people of Shiloh, which is one of the major evidences to identify this site as Shiloh in the first place, that and where it's geographically located. The Bible says that from Bethel, where we're going to go in a few days, from Bethel, you come up the road to Shechem, which is where we just were, and it's on the right side of the road, the Bible says. And that's where this is. And then we have this floor with the name Shiloh on it. So, and it would make sense. This is the city itself. And so this is a nice flat area here for a tabernacle to be set up. And this is where all the archaeological one thing on top of another activity is. So let's talk about that, and then I'll take you over to the other side and show you the other evidence. Can I set this down right there? Now, I want to go over something with you here that I haven't gone over with you.
Can we hold it?
Yeah, or it can just sit there. Okay, so I want to go over a trip that I went on. Few years back, I was sitting in my office. We still lived in Jerusalem. I was sitting in my office and I was reading a book by a guy named Redford. And he's a secular archaeologist. And I read this quote. It says, for a half century, it has been generally admitted. Oh, wait. So he's talking about, he's writing about a site that is in Sudan today. Okay, in ancient times, that's part of Egypt. But today it's in the Sudan. So he's talking about an inscription that was found there in the 1950s in an excavation. So he says this: for a half century, it has been generally admitted that we have here the Tetragrammaton. That just means four-letter, you know, name of God. The name of the Israelite God, Yahweh. And if this be the case, and listen to what he says, as it undoubtedly is, the passage constitutes a most precious indication of the whereabouts. Here's the date of this inscription: during the late 15th century BC, about 1410 BC, contemporary with the end of Moses' life, according to biblical chronology, of the enclave revering this God. Okay? I rushed to the excavation reports in the library. This is the temple built by Amenhotep III, who is the pharaoh of the conquest. And in it, he lists his foreign enemies. And one of them he identifies as the nomads of Yahweh. What a better way, this is contemporary with the end of the wilderness wanderings, what a better way to describe a people who are following their God named Yahweh as a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day than the nomads who worship Yahweh. He didn't call them Israel, he called them by a much more important name than Israel. Here it is on the excavation report. Okay, really, really fast hieroglyphic lesson. This means land. The slash up here. The rest are like letters. They carry a phonetic sound, the rest of the hieroglyphs. These three right here sound out the name Shazu. Shazu, land of the Shazu, which translates nomads. Land of the nomads. And then these four letters here, these... one hieroglyph is double feather, which is the Yah, followed by the house, the H. Okay, followed by the noose, which is the W sound, and then followed by the W E, the bird, way. Yahweh, 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 land of the nomads of Yahweh. I was so excited. I went and got a ticket and went to Sudan. Wow. And rented a driver and a four-wheel drive vehicle. That's where I slept on my trip. Took 3 days of traveling. Okay. No luxury vacation. To get to the temple of Amenhotep III at Solob in Sudan, and here today. Is that inscription?
Oh, wow.
Now there's many, many inscriptions that have been found that mention the name of the God Yahweh. Okay? This is the oldest. 15th century BC. Remember Exodus 3? That happened just before this time period where Moses sees the burning bush and he comes over to the burning bush and God is commissioning him to go and he's going to set his people free. And Moses asks for God's name and God tells him, I am who I am. Tell him, I am, have sent you. I am is what the name means, but the name itself is Yahweh. And so, and then within Moses' lifetime, we have it on an inscription, and then we have many, many inscriptions from the 13th century, from the Moabite stone has it that I was talking about, from the 9th century. We saw the silver amulets from the 6th century that have the name. We saw that other inscription in the Israel Museum that mentions it from the 6th century. So many of them, in fact, that verse where God reveals his name God says, this is the name that I am to be called. Yahweh is the name that I am to be called from generation to generation forever. And we have these inscriptions from that time all the way down through. This is where Yahweh lived for over 300 years. One thing on top of another, probably right there. And of course, this is where the tabernacle was, the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, God's presence. Here is where the nomads of Yahweh, in this 15th century BC inscription, this is where they first settled for the first 300 years when they were in the land here, until the ark was taken to battle at Aphek and the Philistines captured it. Okay, and then the news came back. That was the end of Eli. He died. And Samuel becomes the judge, prophet, leader of Israel. You see this four-horned altar? You see one of the horns sticking up right here. You see
it? Yeah.
So a broken off piece of a four-horned altar that then they used in that wall when they were making the church. I'm sure they didn't probably realize that. Did Kathy say who visited? And then look at this. Look on the inside of this stone right here. There's a bull's head carved into this rock upside down. So to take a little bit of time to look at this olive press, because in a few days we're going to be at the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane is the Aramaic for olive press. So this is what was at the site of Gethsemane. And you see here they have the big wheel that turns in that turns round in that big basin, stone basin, crushing the olives. And then they put them in those baskets. I'm going to be releasing a video short about this very soon where I filmed the process being done. And so we'll talk about that when we get to Gethsemane. But keep this in mind. The way that an olive becomes light is it's got to be crushed. Museum shows you the pottery from the different periods. This is all of that's displayed here at vines that were found here. You can see a spearhead. Now, when I'm talking about those wine containers, this is what I'm talking about. Huge. So think of your handles. You're probably not thinking of something that big. And you see arrowhead and all of the little lamps.
I like them.
Now we're in this flat area. You can almost see a tabernacle in there. And then the thing that's really intriguing about this area is, first of all, we have bedrock on this side. We have bedrock on this side. And at some places, the bedrock is even cut back, as you can see. The tabernacle, when you do the measurements that are given in the Bible, it's 75 feet wide. And this distance here, width from bedrock to bedrock, is 77 feet. And then really intriguing too, is these walls. So they were excavating this wall. Do you see right here? And that's one, if you look that way and it drops off all of a sudden, that's that wall. So what are these walls? And then since then, they've excavated this wall. You see that this wall right here, this stone wall, it goes all the way from bedrock from there, all the way to bedrock over there. So what is the purpose of this wall and that wall down there? The purpose is to build a retaining wall here, to fill it up with dirt, to make an already natural flat area extended. You see that? And so these houses that you see here, after they put these retaining walls in, they filled that in with dirt and covered those up. And then you've got this platform that's, again, natural, that's cut back, that's elongated. It's got to be 150 feet long and 75 feet wide. And that's why it's intriguing. Yeah. There's nothing built on top of it. And so it's kind of torn. I'm torn between here and that other place. Because here you've got this intriguing, they're making a temple mount basically here, which would make sense for the tabernacle. But then on the other side, you got that natural flat area also. And that's where you got one thing on top of another. And everywhere else we go, it's one thing on top of another is marking the site. Why would this site be any different? So
I heard that there's also post holes.
So you say, Stephen said that there's post holes. So let's go look at the post holes. The post holes, honestly, well, let me show them.
This area seems higher than the last one.
So there's a hole here. There's a hole here. There's a hole right here.
Different distances.
A hole here. To me, the theory that these are post holes, this is just me. That doesn't mean I'm right. I could be totally wrong. It's not very convincing to me, honestly.
They're not in a row.
They're not in a row, and they're not very deep. Anybody who knows about posts knows that if you put a post in there, it's just going to fall over. Yeah. You know, you want it down deep, deep, yeah, that it can get down there. Right. So,
but we don't know what those are.
But from up here, you can see this retaining wall that's going all the way across there, and then you can see where this one drops off. So that, to me, is intriguing, that this area was purposely extended. But I used to lean towards this way. Now I lean towards that way because of the one thing on top of another. And that you saw the mosque, and then you saw the Byzantine floor underneath it. That was a huge church. And then that other church that we looked at, the star, was built later next to that church. All the building activity of commemoration is on that side of the site.
Which way is east?
This way is east.
So we'll face that way.
Now, let me...
That other place, were there measurements similar?
Well, it's just a big open flat area, so it could easily fit over there. You wouldn't have to cut anything back or extend anything. Where it doesn't make sense is up on the tell itself, because where are you going to have space for 150-foot tent that's 75 feet wide up on this tell? And both this site and the site on the other are outside the actual city walls. Where is that scripture? So remember, we went by Rama, and went by Rama, and we went by Rama, where Samuel is from, and that's where Hannah brought came here for the feast, and then she asked God, Hannah's prayer. She asked God for a child and that she would dedicate him to the Lord, and she did. And so this is where Samuel grew up, and we talked about the ark being captured and this place being destroyed. But let me read this. Jeremiah 7, chapter 7. Jeremiah is down in Jerusalem, and he says this, and remember, this is right before the Babylonians are coming. He says, go now to the place in Shiloh where I first made a dwelling for my name, and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people Israel. While you were doing all these things, declares Yahweh, I spoke to you again and again, but you did not listen. I called you, but you did not answer. Therefore, what I did to Shiloh, I will now do to the house that bears my name, the temple you trust in, the place I gave to you and your fathers. I will thrust you from my presence, just as I did all your brothers, the people of Ephraim. Okay, so what happened here? The judgment that came, Yahweh had his name here. He lived here for over 300 years. And because of the wickedness of the people, his glory departed here, the ark departed here, and this place was utterly destroyed. And at the time of Jeremiah, then he's saying, come to the ruins here. Come to the ruins. What happened to Shiloh is about to happen to Jerusalem, with one exception. There is no rebuild of this city in the Persian period, but in Jerusalem there is, when the Jews came back from their exile and rebuilt the temple in the city. Okay, so we're going to walk back around this side over here, and you're going to see the city walls as we go out.
Speakers, videos, for groups. I got a picture of it.
With Mike Huckabee.
Oh, wow.
No wonder they didn't let us in.
Back, you gotta find out who was here.
Pretty good.
You just texted me.
Yeah, he's highly supportive.
So now, when you walk back into this area, do you see what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Look at this flat area here.
Yeah.
Huge flat area, and look at all the building activity. Look at how massive this church was. Look at these floors that are exposed.
Mm-hmm.
All that commemorative building is going on this side.
Is this just a different room? Because the thing was actually, you know, why has this got walls here? Just to make an
This is a mosque.
Oh, this is a mosque. The church is...
But the church goes all the way over into this area.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And this is where the mosaic that said Shiloh
It's in the museum.
Where was it?
It was found. It was found in this church. And you can see where Ruth is digging now. She's digging over here. She's been digging just on the other side over here. The reason she's not digging where we're walking through is because it's already been dug a long time ago. But she's interested now in this place. She's convinced it's on this side. And just like the original excavation here, the Danish excavation was convinced. And it's what makes sense. This church underneath this mosque is older than this church. Again, you have two churches up here. See the mosaics sticking out from under the building.
So in today's video, we're going to look at one of the greatest archaeological finds of all time. We're going to go to the place it was discovered, and we're going to talk to the archaeologist that discovered it. This great archaeological discovery was found in the country of Israel, in the city of Jerusalem, at a site called Ketef Hinnom. From ancient Jerusalem, Ketef Hinnom lies to the southwest, just across the valley of Ben Hinnom. Beginning in the 7th century BC, Ketef Hinnom was used as a burial ground with several rock-cut tombs. At Ketef Hinnom, I met up with Israeli archaeologist, Dr. Gabriel Barkai, to learn firsthand about the famous discovery he made while excavating the site in 1979. Would you consider this one of the most important archaeological finds overall in this country?
Well, I think this is going into another topic, and we finished Shiloh. So, I'll tell you what, tonight flew by. We only got about 15 minutes left. And, So let's stop. And I want to show you what President Trump had to say and about he wants to defend the Christians. So, yeah, I'm going to stop because that's another topic. I just wanted to see Shiloh tonight. Okay. And, all right, now I'm looking for what President Trump had said. That was Islam. All right, so I'm looking, folks. Huh. Well, I know he said it. Let me stop here and get people talking while I'm looking for this. All right, Sister Sharon, do you have anything to say about Shiloh?
Well, I thought that was very interesting. I enjoy watching him travel around these ancient ruins and stuff and showing us where the more modern cities are on top of the old ruined cities. It's very interesting.
Shiloh. Yeah, Shiloh always had a cat. Oh, and then we know that prophecy. Scepter shall not depart from Judah and something else until Shiloh comes, and to him shall the gathering of the people be. So Shiloh is a name of the Lord. That's one of his names. Shiloh. Yeah. Sister Kathy?
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. Very, very interesting.
If you could just... Trump wants Nigeria. U.S. may go in guns a-blazing to save persecuted Christians. There we go. I like this. This sounds like the Duke. Right, Sister Kathy? Doesn't that sound like the Duke?
Yeah, guns a-blazing. There comes John.
John Wayne. President Trump on Saturday announced the U.S. will immediately stop all aid and assistance to Nigeria if its government continues to allow the killing of Christians and may even go into the country guns a-blazing to completely wipe out the Islamic terrorists responsible. I am hereby instructing our Department of War to prepare for partial action, Trump wrote in a Truth Social post. If we attack, it will be vicious and sweet, just like the terrorist thugs attacked cherished Christians. Warning, the Nigerian government better move fast. The post comes after the president on Friday designated Nigeria a country of particular concern, citing widespread killing of Christians. Isn't that refreshing, Sister Kathy, to hear that?
Well, I mean, you know what I mean. You know what the angle I'm going at here.
Yeah. Well, I just think we might be getting involved too deep in something. You know, I agree we need to do something, and I agree it's wrong, but us going in boots on the ground may not be, I don't know.
Well, don't take it any more than what he said. You know, concerned about the Christians, they've been slaughtering them. We want Nigeria to do something about it, or we're coming. And just, I think that's more of fire to get them to respond, because they're just, they're letting the killing going because it's a Muslim government. Nigeria is under a Muslim government, and we see what they think of the Christians. They could care less.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Cutting off the money supply? Absolutely. No question about it. There shouldn't be a money supply going anyway, in my opinion.
I'm agreeing with you. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's what I was looking for. The United States cannot stand by while such atrocities are happening in Nigeria and numerous other countries, Trump said. We stand willing, ready, and able to save our great Christian population around the world. That's the quote I was looking for.
Now, what is it called? Can you remember what it's called when he gives them? It's not a favored nation status, but it's there's some three-word thing that he incites, and that's...
I can't think of that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that is definitely, it's putting power where it needs to be. But
yeah,
it's terrible.
And he of his own, I don't think can do that, because the United States isn't threatened. If let's say Nigeria had put a bunch of missiles in it from Iran. Iran took a lot of its missiles there, and Nigeria said that they were going to fire these missiles at the United States.
Mm-hmm. And he would have cause.
Yeah, he would have cause, yeah. He would have cause.
Well, I appreciate him taking action, because it's just horrendous, and like Gigi said, there's been, I think, 7,000 killed this year.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say this year maybe, but I think it's a huge number. Huge. Okay, it says here.
John?
Yes, hold on here, hold on. Senator Ted Cruz, let's see, 50,000 Christians have been killed and 20,000 Christian schools and churches destroyed in the country since 2029, calling it a crisis in religious genocide. But right now, they believe the killings are, they're estimated to be between 4,000 and 8,000 a year, the killing. And I do follow this, and the way they kill pastors is horrific. I mean, it is right out of Mohammed. You know, they skin them alive and stake them in front of the church, and
burn them alive, and all horrific things they're doing to God's pastors there in Nigeria. Gigi.
No, we just, how many were displaced, Randy?
9 million, supposedly.
Yeah, there's approximately 9 million Christians displaced in all those areas. You know, they're refugees.
Yeah.
Man, that is an unbelievable number.
Right. And I think this is wonderful. We no longer are going to stay silent about Islam. This stuff, like, if you say anything about Islam, it's Islamophobia. That doesn't fly anymore. No. Islam is not a religion of peace. It's a religion of bloodshed. You're only, quote, peaceful in America because you don't have the power yet. And then when you reach that point that you feel you're powerful enough, then you will move. And that's kind of what they're doing right now in Great Britain and Germany and France. No, and we need our politicians to stand up about Islam. And if the Muslims here want to be low-key and all right, well, I mean, they're here. But all the others, these Muslim clerics that stand up, the imams, and they talk about global jihad and all, they got to go. They don't have the right to use America, freedom of speech, to advance genocide and killing us, you know, killing the whole world, because they think they're going to take over according to their Quran. No, you don't. No, out. Get out. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, speaking of that, Sister Kathy, would you lead us in prayer now, please?
Yeah, Father, I just thank you that your plans have been laid out before the foundation of the earth. And Lord, we are in the last days. We're in the final dispensation before you come back for your bride. And I thank you so much that we are part of that end time ministry, Lord. Show us what we need to do to bless and enhance and increase the salvation call and the plea for humbling yourself before the hand of the Lord. So, Father, thank you for all the weapons that are just mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God, that's what has to be done. Bitterness and unforgiveness and anger and hatred and unbelief and all these things have got to be dealt with, Lord. Thank you that our calling and election can be made sure. And I thank you that believers are sure. They have made that confession of faith. But Lord, those who are teetering and not fully engaged, we pray they would make it sure tomorrow, if not like right now. So thank you, God. Thank you, Spirit of the Living God. Thank you for people that are propelling the gospel forward. Thank you for Trump shining a light on this travesty in Sudan and Nigeria and Niger and Democratic Republic of Congo, all these places that there is genocide going on, but it hadn't just started. There's never been a peaceful day in all of Africa. Never has there been a place that didn't have contention and bloodshed and warring factions. And Lord, these Fulani herdsmen and the Islamic jihadists, just all of these people that are just bent on killing and wiping out the Christians. We just pray that it would blow up in their face. They would see Jesus high and lifted up and reject this, what they're doing. So thank you that is entirely possible. Anything can happen. And we're just praying a great outpouring and an awakening. And we just give you glory, thanks, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Then we have Sister Gigi and Brother Randy.
Okay. And I do want to mention, which doesn't apply to Desi or us, but tonight is the night that the time changes.
Yeah, thank goodness our cell phones and computers will do it itself.
Okay, so I just wanted to remind everyone, except for Desi. So, Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you that the God that we worship is the only God, the only wise God, and you are maker of heaven and earth, everything seen and unseen. And we know that what we believe is true, not just because of the inner witness that you give us and your word that you have given us, but even all the archaeology that has been found in the last 20, 30 years is just amazing, Lord. And we thank you. I was sharing with someone today about Expedition Bible. I told them to listen. And it's just amazing, Lord. We thank you for that resource. We thank you for Joel Kramer doing those things and traveling all over and being just very persistent to actually find out the truth, searching for the truth. And so we want to thank you and praise you, Lord, because you are the eternal word. Your word has existed before, during the Bible times, and afterwards. And we are looking forward to your coming. We thank you that we are not living in darkness, but we're living in light, and we're living in the truth. And so, Lord, we want to proclaim truth in everything that we say and that we do, and that it would bring you great glory, Lord. And we pray that you would strengthen the Christians all across the world who are experiencing just unbelievable persecution, starvation, murders by this death cult. And so Lord, we're just praying for protection for our country against that death cult. And so we're asking to bless President Trump, watch over him, watch over all of the people that are working to produce good, godly, righteous, honest, truthful, and good governance based on our heritage and our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, Lord. And we are so grateful, and we're asking you to protect them all. Protect our soldiers and every type of law enforcement and everyone that is working to bring about good, godly, orderly, and legal recourse for everything. And there's a lot of people in our government that are believers, and we're praying that the outpouring would spread throughout our government, all over the place, everywhere in D.C., but everywhere in every agency, in every place, Lord, that these people would come to you in droves. And it would really be transforming for our government and for our nation. And so we just want to thank you in advance for all the great and marvelous things that you do. We just thank you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And then we have Sister Sharon.
Okay, Oh, I guess I'm not muted. So, dear Father God, I just want to again thank you for tonight. I want to thank you that we can come together and pray for one another and hear others' needs. And dear Father God, we are definitely praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We are praying for our country. We are praying for situations like in New York City will be abolished. They will be nowhere to be found, and that they'll just disappear. They'll go away, because this is not what you want for us, dear Father God. This what's going on in New York is Hamas. It's Islamic and is not the word that you gave us to study and to learn and to live by. So, dear Father God, we just want to again pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We want to pray for your strength. We want to pray from your word, which comes out of the Holy Bible, or the 1611 AJZ. And dear Father God, we just need to keep praying what's in this perfect, precious book that you wrote for us. And I just thank you for that, dear Father God. And in your name I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And we're over time, but I just want to take like 5 minutes to let you know what's backing this guy, Mandami, in New York City. Now, we prayed against all of this. So let me just read to you here from this article. It's a long article. The youth imam resist by any means necessary. In New York, the Muslim American Society recently signed onto a letter to challenge unmistakably Islamic, anti-black, xenophobic attacks on Mandami. Signatures included, and it lists a whole bunch of these people, because he's anti-Israel and he's talking about jihad and all. Yeah, that's what we were doing. Yeah. We got to stand up against this. The Republicans are going to have to shout this from the rooftops. Globalize the Intifada. Abdullah Akhi, a charismatic organizer with the Muslim American Society Youth Center, leads many protests under the banner Within Our Lifetime, with founder Nardine Kizwani. Mandami joined them before his run for mayor. Akhi calls for street protests, sacred activism, a mix of faith and resistance that will free Palestine. Since October 7, 2023, Hamas attacks on Israel and the Muslim American Society Youth Center has organized prayer protests on Wall Street outside New York Stock Exchange and street protests. The Nakba Day calling for the day Israel's created a catastrophe. Care, we will teach these folks a lesson. Care is it's the forefront of fighting legitimate bigotry. Yeah, sure. Why don't you go fight it in your Muslim countries, what you're doing to our Christians? Federal prosecutors named Kerr an unindicted co-conspirator in a federal terrorist financing case. In 2028, five Holy Land leaders were convicted of funneling millions to Hamas from the United States. And it's just more and more. Al Jazeera host, make American planes crash. And this guy here is working with Mandami. Global imam, read the hoax of the Holocaust. The popular chaplain, build our own space. He's a Muslim chaplain. And he's talking about, well, it's really too detailed now. I mean, this goes on and on and on. This one here is really vulgar. Wow. This woman is giving, her name is Linda Sarsour, and she's criticizing a former Muslim woman who's speaking out publicly against Islam. And I won't even tell you what she wrote. It's really vulgar about a woman, another woman that's... So there you go. These are the people that are supporting. That's not even mentioning the communism. So, Lord, we stand against this in the name of Jesus. All of a sudden, this is really crystallized now, Lord. Really crystallized.
And I ask you to give President Trump all the wisdom and needed how to deal with this wickedness that's erupting out of New York City. We can stand. We know that you have our back, Lord. And when we stand in your name, we have your back. In the name of Jesus, we're invoking you, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to zero in on this and deal with it, Lord, as you know best. And I pray that that outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to sweep into these Muslims, Lord, on all levels, and bring them to you, which will be a part of like bringing down Islam here, nonviolently, Lord, that bloodshed could be spared here. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen, Lord. Amen. And Lord, send a revival here now. It's a prairie fire, but the big forest fire like you sent in the past, Lord. We want it like Jeremiah Lampier, Lord, like Pastor McCready, like Charles Finney did, Lord, like the great Jonathan Edwards, Lord, and Seymour, Lord, the tremendous move of your spirit there, Lord. We want to see it like it was in the late 60s, Lord, roaring through the college campuses, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, God bless everybody. Thank you. And tomorrow, the time will change. The computers and then the phones and all that will automatically do it. And I'll be speaking. They wanted to speak on end time Bible prophecy. So I'll be speaking on that tomorrow. It's about maybe a little more than a half hour drive. Sister Kathy, do you remember Sister Elvira? She called in a couple times.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at her church there, her and her husband called.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Okay. God bless everybody now. Bye. Hello.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame.
Send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift. Hear our cry.